This is a podcast for International Women's Day with the theme Choose to Challenge. Our guest for this podcast is Dr. Ambreen Shah, who recently became a trustee of the Smallwood Trust. I'm Lottie Wheel, a principal consultant recruiting board members for social purpose organisations and a trustee at Futures Theatre. Prospectus is a B Corp working in partnership with organisations to find talented and values driven leaders and board members to deliver their mission, working in the UK and internationally. Ambreen recently worked for the Design Council as Director of Policy, Research and Communications, having spent 12 years at the Big Lottery Fund, now National Lottery Community Fund, where she was involved in the policy development of a range of multi-million pound grant funding programmes to the voluntary and community sector. These included a number of programmes supporting young people, a £45 million programme for women and girls, and a £30 million programme aimed at improving financial confidence. As Deputy Director of England, Ambreen and her team were responsible for delivering £500 million of grant funding in England. So, to celebrate International Women's Day, I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Ambreen Shah. Hello, Ambreen.
Hi.
Hello. How are you today, Ambreen?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Very well, very well. Delighted to be speaking with you about your recent experience in becoming a trustee. So, Ambreen, maybe as a starting point, you recently joined the board of the Smallwood Trust. And of all the charities you could have chosen, could you tell us a little bit about the Smallwood Trust and why you were attracted to them?
I guess the main attraction is because of what they do and their focus of attention, which is to support women to be financially resilient. So I guess I know that no matter what issue a woman might present with to any charity, I suspect money is part of that, part of the package. So for me, thinking about financial resilience as the foundations on which women can build their lives is really important. So I guess my attraction to Smallwood was because of the fact that that's their primary focus of effort. Smallwood itself is a small grant making foundation. It's been around for 135 years. I hadn't heard of them actually before I joined. So it's been really good to learn about their work and to know that how they've changed over the years, over that time. And as I said, their mission is to support women to be financially resilient, and they've really stepped up to respond to the pandemic over this last year, really, having distributed 1.4 million in 2019 to 4.5 million in 2020. Mm. So we know that the pandemic has impacted on women disproportionately, and I guess their work has reflected that in terms of what they do. They make two types of grants, I guess. There are grants to individual women, so small amounts of money that can really make a big difference, whether it's to get a mobile phone, to be able to come online digitally, or, you know, to get advice and training, for instance. Or, you know, somebody said to me, carpets. No one will pay for carpets. People pay for washing machines, but not carpets. So things that really make a difference to their everyday life. And then they also now also fund organisations that work with the women themselves, so sort of women's sector organisations. Mm. And they are the only one of two foundations in the UK that are for the women's sector only. So, so there's not that many of them that have that specific focus. And as well as the grant making, I guess they're quite a transformational funder, or they're wanting to become more of a transformational funder. And I'm really pleased that during the year that I'm going to be with them now, they will be implementing a gender lens framework to their work to see how they can take more of a transformational approach to tackling gendered poverty. So really, from grassroots organisations to really thinking about the policy and the system in which gendered poverty exists, really. So really exciting.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that as a starting point. And this is your first board role. Could you share a bit about why you were interested in becoming a trustee?
There are a number of reasons, I guess. One is purely practical, and that is, like many others, I suspect, in 2020, it's an odd year for all of us. But I was made redundant in September. So I all of a sudden found myself with a bit of time on my hands that I hadn't had previously. So previously working full time, commuting, got two small children, school runs, you know, there just wasn't really the headspace to think about doing anything like this. So one was really having that time freed up. and thinking, well, how can I, from a surplus perspective, how can I keep my hand in? How can I stay connected while choosing not to work at this time? Because again, like many others, I've been homeschooling and that pretty much takes up most of my time at the moment. So it was one on a very practical level. Secondly, I think it's coincided with the fact that I feel now I'm sort of in my 40s, mid 40s, that I have something to offer. So I used to work, as you said, for the National Lottery Community Fund. So I've got years of experience of being a grant maker. Mm. And I've always worked in the charitable sector. So I guess that combined experience made me think that actually I do have something that I think would add value. And I guess it's reflecting to have the confidence to know that, because I guess that also comes with time. You don't often think that what you have to say is valuable. So I think just knowing that actually, yes, there is a body of work that I think could be useful to others. But I'd argue that perhaps I could have done this sooner. But the reason I haven't done it sooner, because I think also the external conditions feel right now as well. I think there's been a real movement since the Black Lives Matters moments came about and the death of George Floyd, in the sense that the foundation world is now beginning to question itself in terms of who it recruits and is seeking to open up the types of people that it's recruiting, to not just to look beyond their own networks and what I would have traditionally called the good and the great, to sit on their boards of trustees. Yes. So I think there is something about that opening up of the space to invite people who might have something to offer that might not be the usual person that they might have looked to in the past. And finally, and again, this is a very practical point, but I didn't find out about Smallwood through someone I know. Mm. It was an advertised position on LinkedIn that I happened to come across. And so to me, I applied for it like I would any other job. So there was an application, there were interviews, I went through the interview process and I was selected on the basis of the selection criteria that they were looking for. So I guess if it wasn't an advertised position, again, I would not have known about it. And I know the vast majority of trustee roles, even today, are not recruited openly. So I guess unless it was recruited by, you know, by yourselves at Prospectus, if it hadn't been done so, then I wouldn't have had that opportunity. So I think that's a really important part of the picture.
Thanks, Ambreen. Those are really important points and interesting that you mentioned confidence, which feels really pertinent to the discussion today. We know that 81% of charities currently recruit trustees by word of mouth or through personal recommendations, according to the Charity Commission. And we've had the discussion that really, in order to remove barriers as a starting point, people need to know about these opportunities. So I think one of the things that we ask as part of this is that if you're not partnering with an agency who's publicly advertising the opportunity, all organisations should commit to open advertising for all trustee vacancies. And there are some fantastic free resources that people can tap into, as well as other low cost options as well. We'd suggest looking at things like Charity Job, Do It, there's a trustee finder on there, Women on Boards, and Reach Volunteering also offer some free services to charities under £1 million as well. So hopefully this gives people the encouragement to think about putting this into the public domain.
Yeah, because if people genuinely want different people who think differently, have different mindsets, different life experiences shape their work, it's not going to change unless they start to advertise those positions. Because no doubt those sorts of people are not going to find out about it through someone they know.
Yes.
So don't forget those sort of everyday social media platforms.
Yeah, exactly. And for lots of people, it's just following those organisations. People now follow organisations that they're interested in. And if those are being publicly shared, it definitely helps put it out there. So Ambreen, we know that there's going to be a brilliant opportunity for someone to shadow you as a board member. Could you tell us a bit more about the shadowing scheme that you're offering at the Smallwood Trust and how this came about?
So I guess at the point at which I applied to be a trustee, I was very aware that generally trustees are still predominantly white, older men, and no doubt from a particular or certainly pretty well educated background. So conversely, people of working class backgrounds, younger people, people with lived experience or people from minority ethnic groups are not well represented at all. So, and in fact, you know, according to the Charity Commission, only 8% of trustees are from ethnic minority backgrounds and 7 out of 10 trustees are men. And it's been estimated that, again, by the Charity Commission, that 0.5% of trustee population is made up of 18 to 24 year olds. So really, really poor representation of young people, with the average age of a trustee being in their 60s. So I was very aware of the lack of diversity in this space. And I've always been keen to think through how can I, what can I do to shift the power to people with lived experience too? I tried to do that in my work when I was developing grants programs for the big lottery funds at the time. And there's nothing worse. And I've had this done to me where when I was an academic and people would talk about Muslims in the sort of abstract other type of way. And it's really horrible hearing somebody who's talking about you in that way. So I think there is something not very nice about somebody talking about someone and an issue that has never really touched their own lives in any way. And I do believe in that adage of, you know, that nothing about us without us. So what could I do that would help shift that a little bit? At the same time, with this free time that I've got when I'm not homeschooling, I guess I was also listening to a series of webinars around hosted by an amazing woman called Hannah Patterson on participatory grant making. And that is the act of giving the communities that foundations aim to serve the decision making power on funding, on funding decisions, but also the strategy and the criteria behind those decisions. So I guess a combination of knowing about the lack of diversity and thinking about how can you shift power to those people that you're seeking to benefit. All of that stuff is great, but I know it takes time. It's an evolution. It's not something that you start today and achieve tomorrow. So I was thinking, what could I personally do that would be a step in the right direction? A small step, but a step nonetheless. So I guess on a run one morning, I sort of had this idea that why not have someone shadow me? So a woman with lived experience, given the focus of Smallwood, as I embark on this role. And I recognise that by doing so, I will get as much out of that experience as the other person. Mm-hmm. Actually, I will learn from their lived experience as well as bring my own to it. And to be honest, I again thinking about time, I have the time to support this person. And I know for many people who do want to be trustees, this world is just not open to them for all sorts of reasons. Either the opportunity isn't there to get involved, or they lack confidence, or there just isn't the headspace. Life is just too busy to give that time and commitment, or the luxury of that, because this is an unpaid position after all. Yes. So some people don't have the luxury to take on unpaid roles in that way. But the shadowing, I guess, I thought could benefit because somebody could get involved as much or as little as life allows them to. So not only, you know, so if they want to, they can get exposure to a board of trustees to see how it operates, what responsibilities they carry, and to gain that experience. And I hope, but at the same time, if they don't have time to read all the board papers, well, there's no compulsion to, but we can certainly have a discussion if they have time. If they want their voice to be heard in the board meeting, they can do. Mm. If they just want to sit on the sides and observe, they can do.
Yeah.
And if it shifts over time, depending on how busy life gets, that's okay too. So I guess it's trying to create a safe space and a safe space with someone else to just to have that exposure. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, I'm hoping that it will be a stepping stone for that person to go on to wherever they want to go on to next. And maybe that's a trustee role, but maybe it's something else, and that's okay too. I'm also aware that since doing this, it's become quite apparent that there are a number of really good organisations out there that are providing training or coaching or information sessions for aspiring trustees. Organisations like Beyond Suffrage 2027, Getting On Board. But there isn't that much out there, if anything, that gives people direct experience of actually being on a board before they find themselves sitting on one officially, because I guess to sit on one officially carries with it a number of responsibilities, and perhaps people, it's too soon. You almost, you know, you don't just jump into a job without any experience of it. So it's the same with the Board of Trustees. So why not provide a pathway to think about how you could get on to get that experience in a safe environment? So I would, again, thinking about the International Women's Day challenge of choose to challenge, as it were, I'd say to trusts and foundations that, because what I'd really like to do, and again, there's enough people interested, this has sparked off quite a number of conversations, which has been really exciting, about how could I take my experience and what I'm doing and make it more of a systematic offer in the trustee world. So if you're a trust or foundation and you think you can provide a shadowing opportunity, this is my call out to say get in touch, because I'm really keen to see whether this could be a springboard to something that is not just done by me in one foundation for a couple of women, something that could be done in a more systemic way across the foundation world to add to the toolbox of other stuff that already exists in this space.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think that's a really fantastic call to action, and something I know that already from lots of conversations I've been having with people in the space that has sparked a lot of interest and genuine enthusiasm. So thank you for sharing that as well. And as you've been talking about, we've kind of discussed that value of bringing in different voices and valuing those insights and perspectives. And can you talk about the experience that you've had personally since you have taken on a board position?
Yeah, it's been a really, really positive experience. I've been really pleased. I think that down to the people who've been involved in inducting me into that role and supporting me through that. This isn't to embarrass you, Lottie, but I guess the conversations that we had before we applied, I was just thinking about this today, were really encouraging. So actually picking up the phone and sort of, and I remember emailing you saying, oh, I'm not going to do something to look at because I've got kids stuff going on. And actually, it, you know, but to know that you were there, if I could, to bounce an idea off or just to check if I've got it in the right space, was really helpful and encouraging, and made me think that actually this organization wants my application. And I think, again, thinking about wanting different people, I thought that was a really positive experience. But since joining, I think the induction has been really good. So one-to-ones with the CEO, the opportunity to talk directly with grant holders, having pre-meetings before the actual board meeting. We've had one so far. And a particular weak spot or a bit of a thing that I'm not so confident about, which is finances. So actually having a one-to-one session with the finance director and the CEO to really just ask those stupid questions, to just try to get my head around the numbers that I know is not my strongest point. So all of that stuff has been really, really great. But I know when we were talking, for me, again, reflecting on this, I think more important than that sort of routine induction stuff has been the culture at Smallwood, which I think there has been a real openness to listen and to be allowed to be the newbie and ask lots of questions, lots of why questions. Why are we doing it this way? Have we thought about doing it the other way? We've made this shift, but could the shift not be a bigger shift? Without there being absolutely no defensiveness on the part of the foundation, the other trustees and the CEO in particular. I can't thank Paul Carberry enough in terms of his approach to inducting us onto the board. There's been absolutely no closing down of conversations, thinking, well, hold on a minute, I've worked on this for, you know, because you could have, you know, well, I've been working on this for years. Yes. You know, you've come in and you've got your great new ideas, but do you know what journey we've been on? And actually, there hasn't been any of that. It's been a real open conversation, and just I hope I say it in a manner that means that I'm trying to think about how we think, how things we could be improved even more, building on the strong foundations. And I think that's the way it's been taken as well. So I am very aware of that. And say, for instance, with the shadowing opportunity, it was an idea. I had it. I emailed the CEO. He said, let's just chuck it to the board. The board said, fine. And then it's just happened. So there's been no over bureaucraticness about it. We've just done it. So yes, it was my idea, but without that support from the CEO, from Paul, and from the foundation more generally, it wouldn't have happened. So that's got to be recognised. And for me, that culture of openness and curiosity is absolutely key.
those are really helpful points, Ambreen, in terms of joining a board and really thinking about the questions that you might want to ask and the ability to feel like you can ask those questions. I think for lots of people around finance particularly, that's a really helpful area to know you can get that support and you don't have to come to a board knowing everything. So thank you very much for talking through that. And could you talk a little bit more about the advice that you'd give to people who haven't been trustees before and who might be interested in exploring this?
I guess for me, it would be asking yourself a question about what's your passion? What do you really care about? What gets you excited and buzzing with ideas? Because we all have things that really create that excitement. And then finding an organisation that works in that space. Because if you have a passion for it, that passion will come through despite yourself, as it were, and give you the confidence to say what you think, which is why you're, you know, being asked to be a trustee, as it were. And I would get in touch with them, ask to speak to one of their trustees, or find out who those trustees are. It's not difficult these days with websites and, you know, stating who they are, and get in touch with them on LinkedIn. I have, you know, again, it's an accessible way to do that. I think that most people, if you approach them, will be more than happy to chat to you. It's a nice feeling, if you think about it yourself, if somebody comes to you and thinks what you have to say is valuable, and actually you're paying them a compliment. So I'd say, don't be shy on getting in touch with people and saying, look, you really care about this issue. You're really interested in the work that they do, and can they have a chat? And because they will be networked not only with that organisation, but others that do work in that area. And so even if there's not an opportunity in that particular charity, they may be able to highlight something elsewhere. Make it known that you're keen to become a trustee. So just by the article that went out around the shadowing opportunity, people have already all of a sudden gone, oh, there's this woman out there and she's a trustee and she's quite keen on this stuff, and oh, let me get in touch with her. So, you know, I've had a number of two or three conversations since then that have been like, oh, there might be something, you know, I don't know if you'd be interested, but there might be something and we might be advertising it soon, so I'll highlight it to you. Because people have all of a sudden become aware that I'm in this space and interested in this work. So make people aware that you want to do this type of stuff. And then there are some, as I said, already some great organizations out there that can support you. So others that I haven't mentioned are the Young Trustee Movement or the Action for Trustee on Racial Diversity in the UK, set up by Malcolm John, who again is doing good work in this area to try to address the issue of that diversity of boards. And then if an opportunity comes up, don't be shy in speaking either to the recruiters, whoever they are, whether it's the charity themselves or an agency, and test the waters. You know, are they really looking for someone like you? I guess for me, another reflection I've had is that since it's become very fashionable to make sure that every advert at the moment says, you know, we welcome first time trustees, or we welcome people from minority ethnic groups or LGBTQ or whatever it might be. And again, I would say to those recruiting organizations, be honest about what you're really looking for. You may be looking for all of those things, but actually your primary concern might be that you need to make sure the people skills are, you know, or the finance skills or the communication skills are the gap in your trustee board, and that's what you want to fill. And secondary, it'd be great if this person was from a minority ethnic group. So just be honest, because it takes a long time or a bit of effort to put together good covering letters, good CVs. So an honest conversation between you and the person who's recruiting to see whether they are looking for someone like you with your set of skills and the lived experience that you might bring to that role will help you determine whether that's something that is worth you applying for. And then apply. Because if you don't apply, you've got no chance of getting it. So, and I speak as a woman, I think this is an experience of many women, irrespective of what background you come from, is that we rule ourselves out far too quickly. We look at a job spec and we go, well, I can do those three things, but I can't do that one. Oh, yes. Maybe this is for me. So again, I'd encourage people to not do that to themselves, or women not to do that to themselves. And I talk to myself as much as anyone else, is that if you meet two-thirds of it, go for it. Because quite frankly, there'll be other people who probably meet not even that and are thinking, oh, I'd be really great at this. Don't rule yourselves out. Give yourselves a chance.
And maybe as well, if you're not successful, ask for feedback and get that feedback.
Absolutely.
Because that's really valuable as well. And any organisation recruiting in that space, even if they've been overwhelmed by applications, will have time to say, this is actually the piece that came out from your application. So I think it's always worth seeking additional feedback too. And for you, Ambreen, what do you think are the benefits of joining a board? Although I think you've done a really nice job of highlighting lots of these already.
Yeah, you learn so much. So even in the short time, so this was sort of a recruitment at the tail end of last year. We're now in sort of February time. You do learn so much. You learn from the other trustees, the experience that they bring to the table, how they carry themselves, how they ask questions of certain things. So you just learn by watching others and how they do that role. You learn about the issues that the charity or that sector is engaged in. So yes, I was aware of the women's sector, but actually coming back into it and looking at the work that the Smallwood is doing and other organizations it's connected into, you get a much better sense of what are the issues and you become more attuned to them. So you're constantly learning new knowledge, I guess, and you're improving your own skill set. So, in terms of whether it's governance, strategy, so the types of stuff that boards preoccupy themselves with. So I know the next sort of phase of work at Smallwood is going to be thinking their strategy is coming to an end this year. So it's about thinking about what is going to be their focus and effort for the next three or four years in the future. And actually, how do you go about that work if you're not from that world? And you will learn, because actually as you engage in it, and a board is really pivotal in supporting the development of that strategy. So again, strengthening your own skill set. And then finally, I think, as I've already mentioned, other opportunities arise as of your engagement.
Yeah.
So people will approach you because they know you sit on a board of trustees, whether it's because of the sector you work in or because they recognize the role that you have and they think that would be of benefit to their organization. But you never know what opportunities will arise, but they do arise. And I suppose it gives you options of where you might use that as a platform to go forward. So I think you are giving your time and you're giving it for free. Mm. But I think it's sort of not for free, because you do get so much back in return.
Fantastic. And it sounds like from the discussions we've had and the conversations with the Smallwood Trust, it's been a really positive transition onto the board. But for others, organisations potentially recruiting at this time, or for people joining boards, what are some of the key ingredients for this, and what are things that others could learn potentially?
I think I've already mentioned the first one, which is you need to recruit openly.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate why people might go via their networks, because they know someone who knows someone, and that comes with a bit of comfort, I guess. But unless you recruit openly, you are only going to get other people who are similar to yourselves, because they're from your networks.
Yeah.
So open. That would be my first challenge, really, that we really need to shift that percentage to the other way. So much more open recruitment. I've mentioned this, but a willingness to listen and be open, and have an open a culture that's open to change. Mm. Because again, a role of a trustee is to, yes, hold to the governance, hold the organized charity accountable, to that it's also to nudge and push and challenge so that they can be even better than they already are. So I guess an organization needs to be open to that challenge. And then something I haven't mentioned, but yes, again, reflects on the shadowing opportunity, is onboarding with another. So there was two of us who were recruited at the same time, and having someone come on the journey with me at the same point at which I was recruited has been really, really helpful. Again, it gives you that it's been supportive to be able to say, pick up the phone to the other newbie on the board and go, oh, how did you find that? Or this is what I'm thinking, what are you thinking? And to have those conversations to then give you the confidence that when you're in a board, a more formal board meeting, to go, well, actually, I know what I think, and I've tested it out a bit, and it's landed okay, so now I'm going to say it. So again, thinking about and if you're not recruiting two or three roles where people come on together, then thinking about budging with another trustee member, but a way in which you can support that person, however experienced they are, I think, to have someone that they can talk to. Because I think, like anyone, you're always more confident to say what you think if you have that opportunity to talk it through with someone. And we don't live in networks necessarily, or at home with someone who you can talk through the issues and will know what you're going on about. So I think that shouldn't be taken for as obvious, and to provide that network and that support as you go on that journey has been really, really helpful.
I think that's a fantastic place to leave things. Thank you so much, Ambreen, for your openness in the discussion today and for your time. And it sounds like you have had a really positive experience with the Smallwood Trust, and really appreciate you sharing your insights on the journey that you've had so far. And I know I'm very much looking forward to hearing about the shadowing opportunity, and I know many others will as well. A fantastic example for the sector too. So thank you again, and we look forward to keeping in touch.